we're in this together. Not just prayer, not just church, but life. We're continuing with the book to the Thessalonians. And right now, Paul is speaking to the church. This is a church that he formed. And so what he's trying to tell them is that, you know, you might be away from me. We talked about that the other week. We also talked about how they are the crowns, that they are the jewels in his crown. That, you know, this church that he planted, every person that, you know, I'm amazed at when we talk to people, we plant a seed. When we talk to people, we water a seed. When we talk to people, when we do that miracle communication, we change a life. It may be a full restoration. It may be a whole change where they accept Jesus and they are saved. Or it may just be a little hint, a little movement, a little bit. But it all counts. It all moves together. It's all these touches that change each and every individual. And that's what Paul is telling the church of Thessalonian church. That even though I can't be here with you right now, he says, I long to be with you. We'll get into the scripture. He says, I'm supporting you from afar. Even though I was blocked, we talked about there that he was blocked from getting there to see them. He says, but my heart, my spirit, it's kind of like with Mitch right now. We can't be there right now. I don't know if he's in the hospital or he's back home. We can't be there right now, but we are with him right now, are we not? We are with him. We are walking with him. I talk to people all the time about, you know, we're going to walk through this together. When I told you about that baby, about that breathing, that was my dear friend Vicky. And I told Vicky, man, when she got that diagnosis, that, you know, hey, we're going to walk through this together. I said, you got a choice. You know, you're going to deal with this. Okay, this is happening. And you're either going to walk with God or you're not going to walk with God through this. And she chose to walk with God through this. And it was amazing what God did. And that little baby was only given 6 months, but that little baby got 2 years. That little baby was only given 6 months, and that baby got 2 years. And then Vicky was a little bit older. She was 40-some years old. And she pretty much felt like when she lost that child, that was the end. And I hadn't heard from Vicky for over a year, and then all of a sudden I see this thing on Facebook, and she starts talking about a rainbow. And then there's this rainbow prayer. And I didn't know what that was. But I guess what it was that she was pregnant with twins. And so after she went through this whole thing with losing Luke, she ended up being blessed with twins. And Luke will always be part of her. Then when we were breathing together in that hospital, we were in this together. When I was supporting her and visiting her, we were in this together. We were in this together. That's what Paul is telling the church. You know, I helped form you. I love you. I'm supporting you. We are in this together. I think that's a message for all of our churches. Every denomination, Catholic, Protestant, we're all in this together. And the unifying force is the same thing as in that wedding, is that intertwining with Jesus. If you got Jesus, we're good. If you got Jesus, we're brother and sister. If you don't have Jesus yet, let's have a conversation. Maybe we can help you along. Maybe we can give you one of those little touches. And so Paul is trying to encourage them. He's trying to say, I can't be there right now with you, but I'm there in spirit. I'm supporting you in prayer. I'm watching from afar. I've been blocked. I can't get there. But you guys, you're my jewels in my crown. When I leave here and I get a crown, you are the jewels, you are the souls, and everybody that you touch are more jewels in the crown that I have. I hear people, ministers talk all the time about, I'm going to get this crown, and I'm going to have these jewels, and it's going to be a gold crown when I get to heaven. I don't think it's going to work that way. I think the way it's going to work is every person I ever spoke to, every touch I ever made, is going to be one of these jewels. Mary spoke of this last week in that crown that God has for me. And it's going to be a crown of souls. And Paul understands this. You know, Paul went to that second heaven thing, okay? When he met Jesus, he went to that second heaven. He saw things that nobody else has ever seen. And I think he got some revelation that other people didn't get. And that's why I think when you read the, you know, I was thinking about this today. We have all these letters. You know, the entire New Testament, almost the whole thing is letters. It's all letters to churches. What's with that? Well, what's with that is these are all the churches that Paul has planted, and he's writing letters to them, and he's encouraging them. He can't be at every church all over the place, so he's trying to get them up to speed. He's training them. He's getting them where they understand what their mission is, what their job is, and they are facing all kinds of levels of persecution. And he's encouraging them to stand firm, stand tall. Let's move into the scripture. Paul says to them, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. What he's talking about here is when we could stand it no longer, we can't get to you guys. We're being blocked. We can't go here physically with you. You ever get to that place where you're at this place of resignation? Like you've tried and tried. I heard this thing on the radio. It's funny. It's not a coincidence. And it was about somebody who kept trying and trying and trying all their life. I love listening to Caleb. I love listening to, I forget her name, but Lori, I think it is. And Lori's got these great stories all the time, so I listen to them on the way here, and lo and behold, a lot of times they just hit right smack in the middle of what we're doing. And I didn't know this one was going to hit, but she's talking about this guy who tried to do something 198 times. She says, you know, I would think like 35 times is a lot, okay? If I could try to do something 35 times and then I say, well, that's it, you know, I'm done. I've given it a good college try at 35, but this guy went 198. And she waited until the very end, and she said that he started at 30, and it was he's 50-something years old, and he's still trying for 2 decades to do this thing. And so she's not letting on what exactly this thing is yet, but it turns out it's something very simple. It's getting a driver's license. And for whatever reason, this guy was having a lot of problems getting his license, but he wasn't giving up. See, we don't give up. When we got God on our side, we don't give up. When we have a child who's in need, we don't give up. When we have a friend that calls at 3 o'clock in the morning, we don't give up. We're in this together. And so, but sometimes you get to a point where you say, okay, well, but it's not going to work out that way. We're not going to be able to do this, so we're going to do that. And that's where Paul's at right now. I can't get to you physically, but I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be sending letters to you. So that's what's going on here. Let's continue. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. You see what he did? Paul can't get there. So what does he do? He sends his prodigy. He sends Timothy. He sends another. Sometimes you gotta send another person. Sometimes we can't do it. You know, you ever try to do it alone? I think I should see every hand up here. I know we all try to do it alone. And it's a very foolish thing. I'm finally learning to not do it alone. And because it just doesn't, it's just too much pressure. It's too much weight. It's just too doggone hard. And it doesn't work out. That's like this guy Glenn with his storehouse. That is a brilliant idea. It's a storehouse of all these people, all these skill sets, So some guy has carpentry skills, another one knows how to fix appliances, another one knows how to paint, and you bring them all together and you've got this whole skill set, and then you've got finances because, you know, you've got kings out there, they got a lot of money, and they don't have enough to do with it. And they need God, and they need an avenue. I need to find you some of these kings. I had this thing when I was at TV20, we met this guy, and they were doing a church in Detroit, and the guy was coming in from California to help them. There was just this little gray building, like cinder block, okay? I mean, nothing to look at. And he told this church, and he was consulting with them, he's out of California, he knew them, he said, you need a king and you need a priest. So the priest, you know, that's the pastor, the minister, whoever's leading it, but then you need a king. Because you need a king who can give you some of that finances to help you move this thing along. You need to pray for a king. And so that's what Glenn's doing here, is pray for some kings. He even told me, I need some people with some finances, I need some kings. Then I told him my story about this church in Detroit. And they started giving away bicycles to all the kids in the neighborhood. And they had no money. They had no money to give all these kids bicycles, but they were doing it anyways. And they found a niche, and then he found all these kids that wanted to need bicycles, and he started to grow. God will grow us as we are faithful. And so Paul can't get there, so he sends Timothy, continuing. So that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. Now that's kind of a bummer, ain't it? We are destined for trials. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I think we say that with a little resignation in our voice, don't we? Like we've been there, done that. Like we get a little unsettled because we know that we've been through trials, we're going to go through some more. And that's one of the things that Paul keeps telling these new churches, like, this isn't going to always be the easiest road. You got a lot of opposition. You got a lot of people who don't really want you here, okay? They don't understand what you're doing. You're brand new. This is one of the first churches in Thessalonica. This is only one of the very first ones. They're the trial, the test. And they're the ones that are going to go through the trials and the tests. Continuing. In fact, Paul says, when we were with you, so he was with them before, he had to leave, but he can't get back, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turns out that way, as you well know. So it really struck me, like, do we understand persecution? Do we really see it? Like, I'll tell you, so I got in with the TCI thing, with the Timothy Initiative, and they asked if we would join in a prayer event, okay? And so every Tuesday, it was Monday, I did it for the first year, and it's the second year I'm into it. And so I give 15 minutes a week, and I pray, and they give me, but the reason I'm telling you this is they give me this list of what they're doing. And this is an amazing organization, man, and they tell me all this persecution that's going on. I used to have a friend of mine at my old church that used to get that magazine, Voice of the Martyrs, and boy, you talk about scary, man. That's worse than a horror movie when you're reading this true stories of what's going on overseas. And so TTI gives me this list of things to pray for and pray about as they take on new territory. They actually got all of India specked out. And they have a plan in the next decade that they're going to have centers all over. They got dots all over India, the whole map of where they're going to put in Christian centers, training centers, all over this map with dots all over the place. But they know that with each of those dots, it's going to come persecution. They know that with each of those dots is going to come some hardship. They know. And so here in the United States, what kind of hardship do we get? Let me tell you, it's coming. Things are changing. It's getting harder. It's getting a little trickier. But you know, the thing is, in the church's experience over and over again, when the persecution comes growth. Because I think the reason for that is that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody's, you know, content and they got their job and they got going off on the golf course, they got it all together, and then all of a sudden persecution and things start hitting, like our economy goes into dumps and everything else, and all of a sudden they're not so secure anymore. Or the zillion situations that happen in relationships and families or in tragedies or you get hit by a car and your leg is shattered. Like you're going along, everything's fine and dandy, but I'll tell you with Mitch, that man, that young man, when I first saw him, I came in here and he had a jacket on that said, Jesus. It's so cool. I love seeing that. When I go into the men's group, they all got t-shirts. So that made me a t-shirt. Look at that t-shirt. It says, God's got this. That was custom made, Mike. See, we need to tell people that even if we're facing stuff, we got somebody who knows how to face it with us. Continue. For this reason, Paul says, when I can stand it no longer, he loves them that much. That's how much he loves these people in this church. I can stand it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. Temptation is everywhere. It's hiding around the corner. It's deep in our hearts. It's on that television set. It's in that internet. It's everywhere. It's not just the blatant kind that we think of either. It's the little things too. It's anything that can distract us from God, and that's a whole lot of stuff. So it doesn't even have to be necessarily bad, quote unquote, bad stuff. It just has to be a distraction. Anything to pull us away. And so Paul saying, I was afraid, you know, especially with all that persecution, you know, they don't want you here. They want to take you out, you know, they want to get you out of that church. They would like to change that church to a 7-Eleven, you know. They really don't want you there. With all that persecution going on, I was afraid that, you know, you were you know, going to fall away. Continuing. But Timothy, I said my Timothy guy. He's my guy. I've been training him. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that as long that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. So it's mutual. They love him, he loves them. Isn't that the church? Isn't that Chippewa Valley Church of God? Isn't that when somebody comes in here and we have a prayer request and something's happened and we come around them? Isn't that when we get on this altar and I anoint with oil when everybody comes and lays hands? Isn't that the church? And isn't it needed desperately? You know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday at that picnic, and we were talking about how this movement of online and how impersonal it is. And really the secret sauce, that other than, of course, Jesus himself, is that interpersonal relationships of seeing people eye to eye, of being there. I'm not a big fan of online. I'm just not. I just don't see how it can work. I need to see somebody. I need to talk to somebody. I need to lay hands on somebody. That's the church. This whole new thing is changing. And I'm not sure it's for the best. I have pleasant memories. They have pleasant memories of Paul, of when he was there. He's sending his emissary, Timothy. He knows that a letter's not enough. He needs some personal contact. I think the church needs to take a lesson from this today, especially after that crazy COVID stuff, and then nobody wants to touch anybody or even see anybody. I mean, what a great tool for the enemy to separate people. Make them afraid of each other. Don't breathe on me. Don't touch me. Where's your gloves?
Where's your mask?
Wear a mask.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not against some of these precautions. I'm just saying that it has really cost dearly. And we need to fight that with everything we got. Because really, we need to be together. We're in this together. If we're not in this together, we're not in this. You can't do this alone. And that's the other thing, you know, people think that you're just going to have this relationship with God without being in it. You need to be in a church. You need to have some people around you. You need some support. You need to support somebody else. I was just talking to somebody about that they were wanting to learn more. And they were asked to teach, and they felt like they're not capable of teaching, they're not qualified to teach. And I told them, man, you're going to learn like you would believe when you teach. When you teach, that's when you really learn. Because you got to start imparting stuff to people, and you got to know what you're talking about, and you got to think through it, and you got to convey it to somebody else so they get it. And you grow leaps and bounds. That's what's happening with Timothy, man. He's growing by going to this church and helping them, continuing. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I love brothers and sisters. I go to that picnic band and say, hey brother, how you doing? Hey sister, how you doing? Hey sister, Mildred, what's going on with your family? It's brothers and sisters, man. I gotta tell you, come to that model picnic thing, that gathering, that family gathering, because it's brothers and sisters, man. We can all build a chain link of arms. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Have you ever been encouraged by somebody else's faith? I have. I've met some towers, man. I've met some people. And I look at them and I say, wow. I think of Pastor Willis, man, with his son, who was in that car accident. Who can't walk. I look at that family. I am encouraged by that family. I don't know how he does it. I truly don't. I mean, you talk about your life turning upside down, inside out in an instant. That's what's happening. And doctor visits and wheelchairs and trying to cope. And then the emotional baggage. How do you do that? And better yet, how do you do that without God? Because that's the baggage going on out there with people who don't know God. They got the situations too, right? They got the car accidents. They got the medical problems. They got all that stuff and more. And they don't have a resource. We are encouraged by each other. I'm encouraged. When I look at the stuff you guys have been through, I'm encouraged. Sometimes I just feel downright blessed that I haven't had to go through as much. But we all have to go through our own stuff, don't we? Continuing. For now, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Standing firm. We need to be standing firm. We need to help our brother and sister stand firm. That's what he's talking about. Like, hey, I wasn't sure about you guys, and if you were tempted, if you fell over, you know, I haven't heard from you. I sent Timothy. I finally got some good news. And hey, praise be to God, you're still there. Praise be to God, you're still strong. Stand firm, continuing. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? So not only am I encouraged by you, I get joy from you. I get joy from you. When I hear your triumphs, I get joy. When I hear you standing firm, I get joy. I am so proud of all of you, of what I watched you go through, and how you succeed, and how you overcome, and how you fall. It's okay to fall. Because I want you to get picked back up. And maybe it takes a while. And sometimes it takes a few years. Sometimes a decade. But you get back up. We have joy in the Lord, continuing. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. I think of TTI here. That's what they're doing. They're supplying what's lacking. They're supplying what's lacking in India with all those dots and all those training centers. In the church, we are supplying what is lacking. You know what? The number one thing I saw, I think I told you this, but it really struck me when I reached out to Eva, who got baptized with us when we did the baptisms, and I was trying to find her a church out in Virginia, I think it is, and I talked to the pastor out there, and he said that, you know, the three ingredients that are needed, and this is so good, for somebody to have this walk, they need a minister, a pastor, a minister, mind you, can be anybody, it doesn't have to be a pastor, it's got to be somebody that guides them, leads them along, okay? They need the Word. I'm going to say that one again. They need the Word. The Word is supernatural. The Word is powerful. The Word is life-changing. As we read the Word, that's what's going on with the men's group. That's all they do is read the Word and just take it in, and then they try to obey the Word. Just read and obey. There we go. And then finally, we need some way to apply it. So we need some opportunities, some situations, some people. That's why you have a conversation with somebody. But those three ingredients are all we need. We need somebody to take the lead, to do something. We need the supernatural Word, which we can share. And then we need an opportunity, which we have tons of those. All we have to do is open our eyes. We see people every day. An opportunity to share it. So we are supplying what is lacking in people. The church job, the job of the church is to empower the ministers to do the ministry. It's our job to get people up to speed so they go and touch that world, continuing. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Paul's still trying to get there. I'm still physically trying to get here. I still want to see you. I'm praying about this. I'm asking God if I can get over to see you. But in the meantime, I'm giving you Timothy. In the meantime, I'm giving you the Word. In the meantime, I'm praying for you. We need to be praying for all of our brothers and sisters. That's why I lift up my friend, Pastor Mark, in his church all the time. Because I want to see his church grow. I want to see him healthy. We need to be... That's why that picnic was so important, is that's a gathering of all the churches supporting one, getting to know each other. Final verse. Couple more. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else. Remember, he's talking to this church still, just as ours does for you. So the way I feel about you, may you show that to everybody in that whole region that you're in. May they see why you're there. Instead of trying to kick you out or try to change you, may they conform to what you're doing. May they be influenced. May they be touched by you. Chippewa Valley Church of God, may people be touched by being in your presence. Because as we said before, your presence is the presence of God. And when you go and talk to somebody, God's speaking to them. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you, continuing. Last verse. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God. Again, he's still speaking to that church. And Father, when our Lord comes with all his holy ones. This really struck me. Do you see what Paul? Paul's brilliant. Paul is like this theologian of theologians. He's like this Pharisee of Pharisees. He's got a mind that doesn't stop. I mean, he's brilliant. And you read his stuff, and you got to really take it in. And see, what's he really saying? Where's he going here? And he says, may He strengthened your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. You see what He's doing here? He's making this comparison of when Jesus comes with His whole troop of angels to this church. So the same thing as Jesus riding out in the clouds with all the angels and the horses and coming at the end of time. And it's going to be this whole amazing army of angels that's just going to fill the sky more so than we saw in the birth of Jesus. When the skies exploded, they're going to explode even more when Jesus comes again with all His holy ones. Can you imagine it? And so Paul is painting that picture as if he's painting a painting right now, and he's saying, this is you. You're like this. You're like Jesus coming with all His holy ones. You are blameless and holy. We really need to hear that today. You are blameless, blameless. Blame is a horrible thing. If you deal with blame, if anybody's blaming you or you're blaming anybody, take and throw it in the garbage. Blame and shame. Those go in the garbage. Immediately. There's no place for either one of those ever, anywhere. You are blameless. How's that feel? For a minute now, for just a second. Just for a second. I know this is going to be hard. But just for a second, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to repeat after me. I am blameless. Say it.
I am blameless.
Now say it again.
I am blameless.
Now one last time because I want you to own it.
I am blameless.
You feel it? You feel it? It's like weight. It goes magically off you. I am blameless and holy. Take the holy test. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you rate?
10.
Thank you. We have somebody who's already been, yeah, I see 10s. See, we've been through this already. And people answer 5s and 4s and 3s and 2s, meaning way off the scale. But see, Jesus made you holy. Jesus made you blameless. We are holy and blameless, and we are in this together. So what do we do with all this?
Jesus makes us tense.
Yes. Jesus makes us all a 10. Next slide.
We take it in, Pastor.
So what do we do with this?
We take it in.
We take it in, first of all. And then we lean at each other. You ever hear that song, Lean on Me? Lean on me when you're not strong. I love that song. Some of those old times, Motown songs, man, that stuff's good. That stuff's really good. Lean on each other. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to ask for help. Sometimes we'd rather go it alone. We'd rather get it done ourselves. We're not going to ask. We don't have to ask anybody for anything. You know, we need to lean on each other. That's not storehouse, man. Quinn's onto something, I'm telling you. We need to lean on each other's talents and skills. We need to be there for each other. Let us pray. Your Father God, we thank you. We thank you for our brother or sister. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that when we can't walk, you help us crawl. And when we crawl, we then start to get up. And then when we start to get up, we walk. I think of Mitch right now and leg and how you're going to fully restore it. 100% healing. He'll be walking and running. I think of Jarrell getting out of that wheelchair and walking and running and dancing. I think of our spirits. I think of the enemy trying to tell us we're to blame, and we're to blame for nothing. We are blameless. So, dear Father God, help us to take that in, that we can be somebody that somebody can lean on, and that we can certainly lean on someone else, and maybe we just lean together and tower each other, and mostly that we just lean on you like that cord of 3 strands that's not easily broken with Jesus entwined, and we can lean in any direction in 360 degrees. grace, because he is intertwined with us. We thank you, dear Father God, that we are in this together, and we can rely on one another, and rely on you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Have an amazing week. Go lean on somebody.